Thank you. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. Thank you. Thank you. Have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. How many of you? How many of you can testify to God's goodness? God is very good to us. I hope we all recognize that. Do you ever have those times that you just want to go somewhere and cry because God is so good to you? I'm having one of those moments. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and also Proverbs chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and Proverbs chapter 1. My mind is a little bit full. My mind and heart is full. There's many things I want to say, but I feel I need to get right to the message. You know, let me just say this. Pastor Wilkerson loves you. He really does. These men on the platform right here, the faculty, wherever they may be, one of the impressions that has been made upon me very clearly in the 9 months that I've been here is you are surrounded by people who love you. I hope you understand that. I mean, from a heart level, I hope you get that. Well, I'm going to preach on the subject, simple carnal Christians. Simple carnal Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse number 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Real quickly, I'm going to touch base here. We see, first of all, Paul's dilemma. Carnal Christians, carnal Christians. Every church has carnal Christians. Every Bible college has carnal Christians. There are carnal Christians in this room right now. And I think it needs to be defined. What is carnal? It means someone, a Christian, who has knowledge of God, but lives in obedience to the old man or the old nature. I mean, your brain says do right, but your carnal nature says, no, I want to do wrong. And so you obey the old man, the old flesh. So there's the dilemma. The Paul's diet there is milk. He would like to have fed them better and brought them to bigger truth, but he could not because he was limited not by what he knew, not by God's truths, but by carnal Christians. We have carnal Christians here. Every church has carnal Christians. And then we see Paul's description, the result of carnal Christian. What happens to churches? What happens to Bible college? Well, there's envying, there's strife, there's division, and they walk as men or they walk in the flesh. And we have that here. And I'm going to address it, not so much the carnal but as more the simplicity of youthful, inexperienced Christians. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1. And verse number 22, Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 22. And I'd like for you to read this out loud with me, please. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. Ready? "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" And let's pray. Father, we thank you, and God, again, I wish the trio could come up and sing that song again. I think we were all reminded of your goodness to each of us personally. God, I pray for your grace here, and I pray for your spirit to be imparted upon the hearts and minds of each listener. They are tired, Father, but your spirit can quicken and make our bodies alive. Please do so. I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide me to say exactly what you would want to say if you were standing behind this pulpit. Most of all, I pray the Lord Jesus and you, Father, will be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Simple carnal Christians. Brother Bailey and those in the dorm staff probably have to deal quite a bit with simple carnal Christians. I do believe that there are many mature Christians here, mature beyond your age. In other words, you can be 18 years of age and you can be a mature, wise Christian. But you can also be 18 and be very foolish. You can even be a scorner and you can be very, very simple. Solomon in Proverbs, Paul in 1 Corinthians address the subject of spiritual immaturity. Can I remind each and every one of us, there is a great need for those of you who sit here and are training for the ministry to quickly, very quickly, rise to the occasion or rise to the level of spiritual maturity. It won't be long now that you're going to be walking across the platform at First Baptist Church, receiving your diploma from Pastor Wilkerson and going out into life and going out into ministry. Listen, may I just say this? You're not going to learn everything that you need to learn at Hiles Anderson College. But you can develop a spiritual condition that will catapult you into spiritual maturity, great wisdom, and be usable in the sight of God and that person that you will work for. Being simple, let's talk about that. That means you are inexperienced. Being simple means that you are vulnerable, gullible, one step away from being a fool. Being simple means being not acquainted with life's dangers. I love my grandchildren, and my grandchildren, by nature, are very simple. I love to talk and listen to their little minds, sometimes correct Papa, that Papa's not doing something right, but they have no sense of danger. I remember we were on vacation in the Outer Banks, North Carolina, about 4 or 5 years ago, and our oldest grandson was right by this very lengthy spiral staircase that went down to the first level. We all, there was probably about 14 or 15 of us upstairs, we were all just chatting, and the oldest was wandering right on the edge. And I looked up, and I saw him, and I just gasped. I jumped out of my chair, but I was too late. He fell down, tumbled down, rolled down the entire, probably about 10 yards long spiral case. And we were all by that time just looking and waiting, and his father came and first before he picked him up, made sure there was no broken bones, and of course he was crying. My point is, he had no idea he was that close to danger. That's what simple Christians do. That's what youthful, inexperienced Christians do. That is what Hiles Anderson College students who are simple do. They walk right on the edge, not knowing that their life is at stake there. And so we've got to understand this condition called simplicity or simple Christianity is a very dangerous condition to be in. There are many of you who are wise. There are many of you, I don't worry one bit about you. You've got it or seemingly got it together. You walk with good deportment, you make wise decisions, you surround yourself with wise people, you talk and you act as a wise person. And that's a great testimony. That's a great testimony to our Savior, that's a great testimony to your parents, that's a great testimony to your pastor and to your youth director. But then there are some that keep all of us on our knees. You're like my two years old grandson that's sitting right on the edge. And despite all the warnings and the cautions, especially in the area of dating, you're ready to tumble off. You just don't quite get it yet. And so this message this morning is going to be one that is going to call you to wisdom. Please, as Solomon did here, and as wisdom incarnated became wisdom and calls for the simple to be wise. I have 8 points here. Number one, being simple is not a sin, but it quickly can become a sin. Did you hear that? In other words, it's a stage of growth. I one time was a baby. I one time was a very small child. By the way, I tried to burn my house down when I was a little child, and I got caught. Very simple, very foolish, but that's what three-year-olds do who have matches. And the neighbor caught my brother and I trying to burn our house down. And you did silly things too. I became a little bit older. I became an adolescent. What a dangerous stage. This is why, by the way, that young people need good godly parents. because they're simple. They're not aware. They're very gullible. They believe things, and they live right on the line of danger. Immaturity develops into carnality. And again, what is carnality? That is the Christian who has knowledge of God, but lives in obedience to the old nature. You've got to get this down, young people, that you have an old nature that will get you in trouble. You have an old nature that has a proclivity to sin. It enjoys sin. And it has screamed, the flesh is continually screaming, please me, please me, please me. Satisfy me, satisfy me, satisfy me. And far too many of you are living in obedience to that old nature. Being simple is not necessarily a sin, but it quickly can become sin. Number two, simplicity is a stage of growth. And it is not remedied by time, but by choice. Listen, I know 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds that are very simple, that live like a 12-year-old, that they are very gullible, that they live right there on the line, on the brink of destruction at all times. But I also know 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, and it's very common. It's just a stage of growth. Now, did you hear what I said? It is not experience, it is not time, but it is a choice. It is a choice that you'll come and be called to wisdom and beckon unto wisdom's voice and say, I want wisdom. I am tired of living this very simple life. I'm very tired of being in bondage to my fleshly nature. What we need to do is we need to start seeking God's word, God's wisdom, godly men and women to surround ourselves by. Now listen very carefully. I'm observant and I've consulted with these men and teachers also. This is the time of year you get a little bit weary. Can we say amen to that? But can I tell you what strong people do? They suck it up when they get weary. They do the hard thing. Every year, we know that we are going to lose students, and sometimes it's pretty predictable. It's like, I don't think that person's going to make it. I don't think they have what it takes. I think they live foolishly, and sometimes it's just written all over them. And we have lost those. I don't want to lose one more. If you've made it this far, you can make it the rest of the semester, and you can make it through the year. I'll never forget Brother Lutz during basic training. The first time they said, tomorrow will be a forced march. And we're all like, what is a forced march? Well, after I took that forced march, I knew why it was a forced march. Because you got to force yourself to finish it. Many did not make it. That was the first filter. That was the first time we started losing guys from boot camp. They couldn't handle it. We knew nothing other than we had to have full gear. Now, we were told that it's going to weigh 30 to 40 pounds. I don't know, but we were probably 30 to 40 pounds heavier than we were just in our weight, our human weight. And so you started early in the morning. We were told it was 24 miles. 24 miles is the equivalent of walking or marching to the church and back, but it's not flat territory. And it's in sand. You march in the sand. Not an easy task at all. It was late August, 80 degrees. Not easy at all. And I'll tell you what, the whining and the moaning began. You've heard that before. You know, I was just a country boy. I knew nobody, but I did know one thing. I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to moan because it's a sign of weakness. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Whining, moaning, pass this petition around. It is a sign of weakness. I have said from day one, you may come to my office with a reasonable mind and a reasonable request, and I will listen to you, and I will help you. But petitions just kind of disturb all of us, I think. They really do. And so again, it was a tough thing, but that was only the first one. We had two more. So whenever we saw force march, we thought, oh, brother. I learned to wear two pairs of socks, by the way. I learned to bring Band-Aids, and every time we would have a quick break, it was change the socks, put some Band-Aids on. One time, well into my Army career, I didn't. I had one pair of socks, and I had a blister on both of my heels about that big. Not fun, but I made it. You need to endure tough times. Did you listen to me? If I'm a future Christian that wants to go to somebody's church, I want to be pastored by a tough man. I really do. I want to be pastored by a man that can endure tough times. I don't want to be pastored by a weakling. Now, this is good. And by the way, thank you, Brother Bailey, for saying what you said. And if you're sitting here this morning saying, why do I have to wear a suit coat? Well, let me address that. First of all, I was a bus captain for 15 years, a division leader for 12 years. I never one time remember going into the church service without my suit coat. Whether it was 95 degrees or minus 5 degrees, I had a suit coat. Well, Brother Douglas, it's not convenient. Yes, but the character to do so is very convenient for your future. And that's what it required. And I commend the majority of you who do wear suit coats every service. But we need to pick up our game here. Listen, we're trying to build character in young men and young ladies. Let us make that very clear. Why do we have to do that? Because it builds character. It builds character. Simplicity is a stage of growth. It is not remedied by time, but by choice. Number three, simplicity is a condition accompanied with dangers. Simplicity is a condition accompanied with dangers. I'm going to read several verses. You might want to jot the verses down. Proverbs 14, 15, the simple believeth every word. The simple believeth every word. Can I just introduce you to a concept? When I hear information, that's all I count it as information. It is not necessarily the truth until it can be documented. And there's far too many students counseling each other. Now, I scratch my head on that one. 18-year-old comes to 19-year-old. Hey, what do you think about? Well, I'll tell you what I think about. Don't think, 19-year-old. Say, you know what? Why don't you go to Brother Bailey? Why don't you go to Mrs. Bushy? Why don't you go to somebody who's a little bit older and wiser? And just as foolish as that is an 18-year-old comes to a 19-year-old, hey, I want to date this guy. What do you think of this guy? Listen, you're not mature enough to get good, clear counsel. You may just say, hey, I hate that guy. I hate that girl. It could be the envy in you. It could be the jealousy. And that's why it's foolish to ask another student what, and by the way, it really wreaks division in the student body. Go to somebody older. Go to somebody wiser. Simplicity is a condition accompanied with dangers. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. He studies something out first. Proverbs 7:7, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. In other words, you can see the simplicity. It is a visible thing. I discerned a young man void of understanding. Listen, don't live in that neighborhood of simplicity very long. Make a decision as a very young man, as a very young lady. I don't like simplicity. I'm moving out of this neighborhood. I'm moving into a better neighborhood. It's called wisdom. Proverbs 14:18, the simple inherit folly. Boy, do they ever. But the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Proverbs 22:3, the prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. This is what a wise person does. This is what they say, you know what? I don't have a good feeling about that. Hello? That's a prudent person there. That's a prudent lady. That's a prudent man. And you know what? I've heard things. My pastor preached a message, and I heard Brother Wilkerson preach a message, and I heard somebody at the college preach a message, and they said they did that, and they got themselves in trouble. Right, exactly. But a simple person will just continue on and experience the folly of sin. Number four, the simple are often a target of evil people. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. The simple are often the target of evil people. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and the whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot, a lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Ladies, look up here, listen to me. There are men out there that are evil, and many of you have been brought up in a very Christian home, a very loving home, but you know what that makes you? That makes you, in most cases, a very naive girl. A very simple girl. And you better look well into your going to make sure, and I'm not talking about just here at Hiles Anderson College, I'm talking about in the workplace. Far too many girls have got into bad relationships in the workplace. Come on. I tell the truth, but you're simple. You don't see the dangers. Well, he's cute and he gives me attention. You really, that's your criteria for a relationship? You are beyond simple. You are, fill in the blank. The simple are often the target of evil people. Number five, wisdom calls out to the simple. Back to Proverbs chapter 1, please. Call out, the wisdom calls out to the simple. Proverbs 1, verse 20 through 23. Let's read verse number 20 together. Are you there? Say amen. Let's read it. Ready? Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gate. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, let's read verse 22 again. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning? Verse 23, turn you at my reproof or my correction. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. The spirit of wisdom to you. So wisdom is saying, please come. I'm asking. Call out. Come to me. Wisdom calls out to the simple. Proverbs chapter 8. Please turn there. Proverbs chapter 8. Let's read the first three verses together. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 1 through 3 together. Ready? Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is unto the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of understanding heart. So wisdom is beckoning you. It is knocking at your door. It is crying for you to stop being simple. Wisdom calls out to the simple. Number six, wisdom learns from instruction. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5. O ye simple, understand wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Don't turn there. I'll read it to you. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now listen to me. I see this here, and I see it a lot of places where young people really think too highly of themselves. I'm smart, I'm wise, and I'm thinking, you're 18. I can't get past that. You're 19. You may know a lot, and you may have had good training at home and from your home church, but again, you're inexperienced in life. And you know, there's far too many people just with that smug attitude. I'm superior to you. That's that smug attitude. Brother Douglas, been there, done that. I already know that. Teach me something new. Can I give you a truth? There's no new truths. Truths were established from the foundations of this world. And there is a proclivity within student body, young Christians in general, not just here, all around, give me a new truth. There's no new truth. It is right there. Can I say something else? You will learn much more after graduation than you do here at Hiles Anderson College. You shouldn't feel slighted because, well, I didn't learn everything. You've got your whole life to learn. There's not a day that goes by where I don't learn something. Why? Because I read. Why? Because I observe. You got your whole life. And stop the criticism. Did you hear me? Yes, stop the criticism. Well, this teacher this, and this teacher that, and this teacher that. You're a critic. That's exactly what you are. You are an absolute critic. And you should never go in ministry with that condition. I will never, never recommend anybody to any position who is a critic. You will destroy, you will divide the work of God. You will divide the body of Christ. Why? Because you're a critic. You're foolish. Next, wisdom has great benefits. Wisdom has great benefits. Let me back up. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. There's a great danger in refusing wisdom. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hands and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Boy, those are strong words. Those are not my words. That is Solomon being inspired by God. There's a great penalty for not welcoming wisdom. Wisdom has great benefits. It has happiness. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Wisdom has great benefits. Promotion. Proverbs 4:8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Wisdom will make you free of fear. Proverbs 3:24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Wisdom will promote or give you steadfastness. Proverbs 3:23. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. That's the tip of the iceberg. There are numerous benefits of gaining God's wisdom. If there's one thing that the student body here, and we all need, it is wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Number eight, wisdom reveals itself through wise people. Wisdom reveals itself through wise people. There are wise people here. There is a wise faculty and staff. There are wise administrators. There are wise students, but there are also very simple students. And here's how we know if somebody is wise. First of all, they hear and they learn. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And the man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Now, look up here, listen to me. Don't ever come to the point you think you know it all. Did you hear me? Never, never, never come to the point where you think you know it all. Some of the wisest men I know, when I have sought out their counsel, have not been afraid to say, Dave, you know, I'm not sure. That is wisdom. They're wise enough to admit they don't have all the answers. So they hear and they learn. Number two, they work hard. Proverbs 10:5. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. I got to tell truth here. This is a new truth here. You can't learn anything while you're sleeping. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's good. When you sit in class and sleep, and we could give under every excuse under the sun. You know what? There's a lady sitting in the back right now standing up. You know why? Because she wants to hear something. And I've seen other students do that also. You say, well, Brother Douglas, the classroom is warm. I worked all night or I studied all night. I'm tired. Coffee. And there are other supplements that I will not mention. Vitamin B12. Wisdom reveals itself through wise people. They learn, they hear, they work hard, they receive commands. Okay, now listen. Especially you guys, some of you ladies. Oh, I know everything. Oh, yeah, okay. Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool, what's a prating fool? Somebody who talks a lot. All you hear is just da, 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 da. It's just prating. It's like, oh my goodness, be quiet. A prating fool shall fall, but the wise in heart receive commandments. You know, let me stop. We're going to have a timeout. I'm going to slow down here. There are people here that you just don't like instructions. You do not like your dormitory supervisors telling you what to do. You do not like Rob Osgood telling you what to do. You do not like Brother Bailey telling you what to do. You do not like Brother Collins telling you what to do. You don't like anybody telling you what to do. That classifies you as a fool. You don't like anything that is unfavorable to you. You don't like decisions that you see as unfair. Can I say that you better get used to it? Because you are going to live in life that is unfair. Amen. And that is the beginning of your spiritual destruction right there. Well, I just don't think he should have said that. I don't like what Brother Douglas decided. I don't like what Brother Bailey decided. I don't like what Dr. Cowling said. Yeah, thank you, Gerardo. Hey, do you get what I'm saying here? Your life, you got it in front of you. But a wise person will say, okay, well, but that's the authority, and okay, and that's the college rules. Maybe I don't agree with him, but I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. But when you see a decision or something unfavorable happens in your life, and some of you have been lied to, you think everything has to be favorable to you. You need to get off those drugs. Man, I'm telling you. How many times have there been decisions that have not favored me? How many times have I, in a meeting, Brother Ray's here, okay, so I'll be careful, but not too careful. Brother Ray, sometimes back in the day, okay, we're going to have a big day, we're going to have 10,000, and I need all of you guys to do this, and, you know, I'm a bus captain, I'm married, I'm a principal of City Baptist, and he continues to think of all the plans, and my brain is just on overload. It's like, how am I going to do all this? Brother Ray, what are you on? Come on, man. Oh, my soul. And everything he said, I resisted in here. Because it all equaled work. Hello? But you know what? After I processed it all, it's like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. In between that time where I resisted everything and I processed it, I did not open my mouth. It'd be good if you'd learn just to keep your mouth shut during that period of time. You'll hurt yourself here. When you feel somebody is unfair or somebody is not treating you right, it is a part of life. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 17 and Luke chapter 18, I believe, that you're not going to escape this world without offenses. They're coming your way. Be ready for them. Wisdom reveals itself through wise people. They hear and learn. They work hard. They receive commands. Wisdom controls speech, Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is what? Wise. Now, here we go, time out. Let's slow down. Listen very carefully. You do not have to comment on everything that somebody says. Who asked you? The response, the commentation, it's like, okay, did I ask you this? And some of you, and I love humor, trust me, we need your humor, we need your enthusiasm. I need it. But some of you need to put a curb on thinking you can comment on everything and making everything funny. That is probably the mark of a cynical spirit. So I caution you, take a look and make sure that you don't feel like, and by the way, it's a control thing too. I just got to talk about everything and comment everything. You don't have to comment on everything. And I have learned, the older I get, it's like, well, nobody's asking me for my opinion, so I'll keep it quiet. You'll never go wrong with that. You'll never go wrong. Next, wisdom is humble. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. All the time, did you hear me? All the time. When pride cometh, now cometh shame. You know what? You want to live a hard life? Be proud. You want to live a good life? Be humble. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom, or with the humble is wisdom. Next, wisdom has leadership qualities. Proverbs 11:29, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and a fool shall be the servant of the wise of heart. When he that troubleth his own house, he's going to inherit the hand. Let me put that in Hiles Anderson College version. When she troubles her dorm room or her dorm floor or his dorm floor or his dorm room, you're foolish. Why would you want to cause trouble in your own room? Tina, why would we want to cause trouble in our own house? That's our haven. Home is our haven. Home is where love is. Home is where positive words are. Why do you want to trouble that? Why? Because you're foolish. You're simple. Your dorm room should have a lot of kind, loving words. And stop insisting on, I got to have my way. This is not how I did it at home. You're not home, sweetheart. You're not home. Well, you're in my way. Right. That's a dormitory life. Well, you're using my. I came home one morning to get a suit on back in 1981. It was gone. It's like, what in the world? Come up here to the college, and my roommate is wearing the suit I was going to wear. I just looked at him and I said, "Nice suit." I thought that was a girl thing. Listen. Counsel. Wisdom listens to counsel. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth to the counsel is wise. Wisdom can take a chewing out. I love this one. Proverbs 17:10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You get that? A wise person can get a scolding and just say, good or bad, innocent or guilty, I'm good. You got that? Next, let's talk about fools and scorners. Number one, don't associate with them. Proverbs 14:7, go from the presence of a foolish man. Don't seek a fool's counsel. Proverbs 24:7, wisdom is too high for a fool. Why would you ask a fool for counsel? He openeth not his mouth at the gate. Don't argue with a fool. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Flee the scorner. Proverbs 22:10, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Proverbs 24:9, scorners are a disgust to humanity. The thought of the foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to man. Those are pretty strong words there. But my experience tells me Solomon was spot on. I've had to deal with scorners before. They made life miserable. Scorners, who are they? They mock the things of God. They're unteachable. They're proud. They're critical. They resist correction. Proverbs chapter 2 talks about the praise of wisdom. Don't have time to go through the whole thing, but Proverbs chapter 2 is a beautiful chapter. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with me, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, and it goes on and on and on. If you want wisdom, you've got to be diligent to obtain her. It's a great thing. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. There's a great need we have for wisdom. Father, we thank you for your goodness.